KUJZ is 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Greetings! Welcome to Sports Talk, the 4 o'clock hour on a Thursday, our somewhat abbreviated edition, as we'll be on with you until 5:30 when we turn it over to Joey Mack and friends for the pregame leading up to the call of Cal at the Dukes. And, at this point, with all that's on the line, there are no games that don't have substantial value. When you are in the top 15, top 12, in Oregon's case, top 11, you win your games, especially on the road. You start to pile up those net ranking points and, you get in the running and obviously the primary goal, I should say the first goal right now for teams like Cal, Arizona, Stanford, USC, Colorado, and Oregon, who are all within a game in the loss column of the top spot. Although that needs to be clarified because the two teams in conference with three losses are Arizona and California, but they're also 3-3. So Oregon has what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a more than a two game lead on them. But either way. Going into Cal, when I was driving home the other night, I heard Joey Mack talking to Coach Altman about Bay Area, man. It's always a difficult trip. There's always something looms. It's an opposition player going off, or it's a great player for Oregon not able to throw it in the ocean. I mean, here, there, everywhere. So, in action tonight is everybody except Washington State and Arizona, Washington State, Arizona, and Arizona State and Washington. Arizona State got beat by the Cougs last night. Otherwise, we've got a full throttle evening of Pac-12 hoops. Colorado at UCLA is on ESPN2. That's Fox Sports 1 has Southern Cal hosting Utah. Ducks on the Pac-12 network. And what's Oregon State? What is Oregon State up to? I guess they're the back end of the Pac-12 doubleheader tonight. So a lot going on, a lot on the line. And the news about the NBA and their format that they changed for the All-Star game, and I'm like, what are you doing? The All-Star game itself has always been basically an exhibition to the nth degree, kind of the classic check your defense at the door, which actually, I apologize, that assumes there's even any defense. So I don't know about that. So
I came here to chew gum and kick butts, and I didn't even bring any gum to chew. This is just the worst. Man.
You people are the worst. By the way, the TV on the Pac-12 network tonight, Guy Haberman and former Cal head coach Ben Braun. I did not even know he was an analyst. I know the guy who used to knock heads with him across the bay, Mike Montgomery, is. So the NBA All-Star Game format, and this is pretty new. This was recently announced. So teams will play for Chicago-based community organizations. The team captains, Giannis and LeBron, will decide. So they play to win each of the first three quarters. Everyone starts out with the score 0-0. And then at the start of the fourth quarter, they're turning off the game clock and they're going to set a final target score. And how they're going to do that, this is the formula. They'll take the leading team's total cumulative score through three quarters and then add 24 points as a tribute to 24, the number Kobe wore.
But it's only 24 on top of the score of the leading team at that point. So it's not a total of the community. It's whoever scored the most of the first three quarters, but we're not counting the first three quarters because everything is different. But then it actually means everything in the end of the game, because even though at the start of the game we're telling you it doesn't mean the same thing. But just say, okay, we're going to keep the scores through the first three quarters. We'll keep track of who's winning what quarter because that's simple math for us to do. We'll just keep the score up on the scoreboard. And then in the fourth quarter, just take however long it thinks you guys are going to take to score 24 points, or just play 12 minutes of basketball.
They gave an example. So if one team leads the other 100-95, the final target score
quarters. 5 minutes into the first quarter?
Yeah, all right, so let's say it's 140-135.
Thank you.
What they're saying is the team on the lead would have to get to 174. So the math is better my way. Just stop. If the score is 100-95, then they would target 124. So to win the All-Star game, the team on the lead would need to score 24 points. The team who's behind would need to score 29. And, wow, the community organization selected quarter by quarter, $100,000 per quarter, and the winner of the All-Star game that reaches said target score will earn $200,000 for its designated community organization. Now, what does that do? Remember we were talking earlier, you can't bet the game. Because there's, you know, it's just, I guess you could do quarter by quarter?
Well, there still will be, well, like I said, they're still taking all of the points that mattered in the first three quarters and adding them up, and then they're setting a benchmark score. So there will be a final total that you will be able to bet on. It's just a matter of, does this quarter by quarter battle and the battle for charity money make it more competitive, and thus you should be taking any unders, or is it all just a classic All-Star game and nobody cares and it's still going to be 903 to, you know, 895 at the end of the third?
No.
It doesn't make sense. They've overcomplicated a dumb thing to try and make it mean more, which the point of an All-Star game is that it doesn't mean anything in every league.
They're really grasping at straws to make you think there's a game. In essence, they're trying to play four games.
Right. But it just, baseball ruined the All-Star game when they're like, this means home field in the World Series. That's a dumb thing to do. The NHL tries to, you know, I guess the players get some money at the end. So you're like, compete and try and do something. But even the NHL is like, 5-on-5 hockey in the All-Star game is very dumb. Let's play 3-on-3. The fans like that more. Whatever. You know, the I guess the Pro Bowl is the Pro Bowl. I didn't watch a second of it this year. Now the NBA is just like, we're playing four games and it's all going to be for charity. It's just play basketball and have the players donate some money to charity, or just donate money to whoever's an All-Stars charity anyways. Like, just give away money and do good things.
They are giving away. I'll be very curious to see how this plays out in the, well, we didn't care, this made us care. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people are going to tune in just to see the tributes and, the emotional outpouring for Kobe. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. How about Lillard last night? Dude, launch detections. I mean, he's pulling up from the logo. The announcers are calling it just past half court, and they were spot on. And I think a lot of people were surprised. I would have bet if somebody said, how many triple doubles did Damian Lillard had going into last night? I'd been like, I don't know, 7 or 8. Yeah, none.
Really?
Yeah, that was his first one. 36 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. Hit 8 of 10 from downtown. And my wife and I were watching something, and I got to watch like the last minute of the first half, the first time I checked in. And that's when he did one of those pull-ups. I mean, when you take the shot with 18 seconds to go on the shot clock and you almost get a shot clock violation, that's a long shot. I mean, it negated an incredible performance by Westbrook. Harden was like Bricklayer Jones. He got his 18 points on 18 shots, 5 of 18. But Westbrook scored 39 on 16 of 29. He just assaulted the rim. He also had 10 rebounds, but also he and Harden turned it over 6 times each. Which, by the way, Lillard, you and I know, are in search of that quadruple-double. Lillard had the triple-double, points, rebounds, assists, 8 turnovers.
Oh, boy.
He almost did it.
I've done this research before. I feel like I know who has the most triple-doubles with 10 turnovers. I feel like I know who it is.
I bet you they wish you didn't. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Brad. Brad, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. So I'm pretty sure Westbrook got a quadruple-double pretty recently with 10 turnovers.
It wouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah, he's a high-risk, high-reward type of passer. It doesn't surprise me that was Dame's first triple-double. It's always the rebounding for him, and as it was, it took till, a put-back shot with 30 seconds left
right, to
even get that. So I think it was cool that he got it. And man, he is just on fire right now. It's unbelievable to see how he's shooting.
By the way, did you see your boy Ovechkin last night?
I saw some clips of it. I saw the shirt he was wearing, which I thought it was ironic that he put on a 24, considering he's already number 8. But
yeah, he put on 24 and he scored a goal, and it was one of those that he and maybe 5 other guys could score off of a mistake. But it was pretty cool, and the crowd went berserk.
Yeah, I'll have to look up the highlights. I did not catch that. It's how it is with hockey out here these days.
Yeah.
So on a Blazers note, though, I was kind of explaining the whole trade deadline thing to my girlfriend last night, and what do you think about Whiteside? I'm really conflicted on this. Logically, for the team to improve and use assets and get better, the move is to trade him, I would think. But then you're pretty much fully given up on this season. Not that they shouldn't at this point, but I mean, it's just hard to waste this kind of effort by Dame. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean this might sound like the most simple cliche question, but what could you really get? Because this is it. I mean, he's an outright free agent. He gets, what, 26, 27 mil this year, and he's an unrestricted free agent. So he has value because the team basically could rent him for a great interior scorer, rebounder, and defender who could put them over the top. But if it's a team who you think is going to make a deep playoff run, I mean, do you want that first-round pick in the high 20s?
Well, I mean, you know, that's the question, I guess. And I don't think there's any chance the Blazers would really be looking at realistically re-signing him based on Nurkic and Zach Collins coming back. I mean, I like him, and I like the way he's fit in. He's also historically been a bit of a head case, and it seems like he's playing his contract season out. And, I mean, he's great. He's a double-double machine and has brought the only inside presence to this team
right.
this year. But, like... I don't know, man. It's a tough one, and it's after watching the game last night. It's like, man, I'm glad I'm not an NBA GM.
No, he's having a hell of a year, and I guess by this time next week we'll know because the trade deadline is noon this coming next Thursday.
Okay.
All right.
Here we are.
Thanks a lot, Brad. This is his. I think you could call this his best all-around season. 3 years ago with the Heat, he averaged 17 and 14. Now he's 16 and 14. But his defense is incredible. He's averaging more than 3 blocks a game. He leads the country. He's not a college player. He leads the NBA in swats. And, you know, he's proven that. You know, ever since he's become a regular, because when he got drafted out of Marshall, he was a second rounder, and he really didn't become a semi-regular. First, I think he went overseas before he came back to the Heat, and then starting in 16, you know, when he played 73 games, 77 games, he got injured in 18, you know, played 75 games last year, and now he's played all 44 this year, and aside from 2017, these are his most minutes per game. So, if you're looking at, through the lens of a Blazer fan, at age 30, if teams are talking about a 3 or 4 year deal and they want him for this year, maybe another 3 years, I don't know that his value can be more than it is right now. So that's certainly something to consider.
There have been 14 triple-doubles with 10 or more turnovers. Yeah. The most turnovers with a triple-double actually belongs to Jason Kidd. He did it November 17th in the year 2000. 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 18 points, 14 turnovers.
Whoa!
Your latest
point guard.
Your latest quadruple double, I guess I should be saying, was actually on my birthday last year, February 9th, OKC at Houston by Russell Westbrook. Westbrook is leading the league, leading in the history of NBA with triple doubles or quadruple doubles. He has 5. Magic Johnson has 2 of them. He did it in 80 and 79. LeBron James has 1. James Harden only has 2. He hasn't done it since 2017. And Blake Griffin, Clyde Drexler, and Charles Barkley also have 1 as well. This is just the most interesting stat box to look at on Basketball Reference to see the guys who have all done this. It's very impressive stuff.
10 turnovers, man. There's only 4 quarters.
James Harden scored 40, and he still managed to pull it off.
Well, what's incredible is you're 20% of the game. Every 20% of the game, you're committing a turnover. It's time. I shouldn't say 20. Every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or so you're committing a turnover.
Well, yeah, like, let's see. Jason Kidd played 45 minutes and had 14 turnovers. So he played damn near the whole game. He's just like, I gave the ball away. Coach, I did have a triple-double. We put up some good points. We didn't win, but hey, I played good out there. A surprising number of these also have happened in victories.
Yeah, which is just you want to talk about the classic, we shall overcome. We can overcome this idiot with his 10 turnovers. Well, he did score 40, so that's not a bad counterpunch. All right, let's play a little Jeopardy and a little sports trivia, courtesy of our friends at Big Al State Farm, who ask a very simple question. Are you doing enough to protect your family? They'd like to take an in-depth look at your insurance needs and protect you and your family from the consequences that can occur when you're not properly covered. You can call Big Al, get a quote, have them do a once-over, 686-1522. Check out the website, BigAlEugene.com. And again, at this juncture, I'm going to ask you guys a sports trivia question. You text me the correct answer.
Text.
At 321-0824, and if you're the first one to get it correct, you can head down to Big Al's on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart and collect a $10 gift card. So this is provided from Nick's Daily Trivia, courtesy of Sports Jeopardy, which I absolutely love. So I am going to appeal to the somewhat older crowd out there, you ski fans. So, Franz Klammer, the Guardian once said of him, seemed almost to be falling as much as skiing. In Innsbruck in 1976, he won the gold in the downhill. And downhill skiers are nuts. They're badasses. They're incredible athletes. They're insane. So Franz Klammer won the gold in 1976 in the Winter Olympics, representing which country? 321-0824. Text me the answer. We'll be back with an update and more. 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
And Crowder takes it. We'll take a right corner three. No good. He's fouled. Crowder getting up. He's knocked down by Payton. And now the benches are clearing. The players stay back, but the coach is separating things. Taylor Jenkins is out. Mike Miller's out. Payton with the hard foul on Crowder as he went for the three. Took issue that Crowder would shoot a three with the Knicks down by 18.
Ed Cohen, the Knick play-by-play guy. So at the convention of all the NBA play-by-play people, they ask him, so what team are you representing? So, yo, you in the back, I think something's wrong with your microphone. What team do you work for? The underwear? All right. The New York Knicks. There, I said it, okay? You happy? I can't get another gig, so I work for this jerk. All right. Which, by the way, like anybody in media or broadcasting would kill to get the Knicks job. You work in New York City. And, well, I was going to say someday they might be good, but Dolan's still, I mean, who's kidding who? All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So, after the brawl, which the Knicks got their babas kicked by Memphis, and Jay Crowder got into it with Marcus Morris, and he goes on this misogynistic rant about how, in essence, Crowder, you know, he has a feminine side to his game, and he plays like a woman. And then he had to apologize, which I don't buy grown-up apologies. For the most part, if you really were a person of character and not a liar and not a misogynist and not a pinhead and not a D-bag, you wouldn't have done X or said X. Though if you look at the video, as far as he was concerned, there was nothing that he could say which could have been more of a rip or a put down to Crowder than compare him to a woman. Soft, not tough, dramatic, throws their head back, and that's what women are, putting us with us jerks forever, soft and not tough as nails. Just what an ass. What a complete and total ass. But anyway, 284-8571. We're with you for about another hour before we get ready for Oregon basketball, the men in action tonight. Just past 5 o'clock, our conversation with Oregon softball player Haley Cruz, who is just absolutely delightful. The Oregon baseball and softball programs are going to do kind of a combo fan day on Saturday. That's from 4 to 6 p.m. It's going to be inside the Moshofsky Center. And admission is free. Great way to kick off the season. And by the way, if you're a season ticket holder for either, you can actually get your tickets. And, you know, you can purchase tickets if you're a non-season ticket holder. There's going to be player and coach autographs. You can play catch. Uh-oh. A wiffle ball home run challenge. Is that just for kids? I will take people deep. How hard you can throw a radar gun station? No, not my thing. A TikTok station where Haley and some of her teammates have posted some awesome videos. Photo booth, they're going to have giveaways, contests, and much more. And we spoke with Haley, and you'll hear that combo in about a half hour or so. But right now, let's get into some sports talking. Right here on 95.3 The Score, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline is wide open, 284-8571. Let's get to it and bring in Ed. Ed, good afternoon. How's it going? Excuse me.
It's going fine. I heard you talking about the games tonight on the men's side. What time is the women's game? And is it on TV?
Seven. Let me get you that information. The radio, of course, we've got it on KGN News Talk 590. As far as the boob tube, it will be it's Pac-12 Networks as well. That's probably Pac-12 Oregon. I'm looking at GoDucks.com.
Okay.
Women's. It's a big debate, Ed. We'll try and settle it like grown-ups.
I heard you say the Cal game's on at 6, so I was just wondering. So the women's game is 7 o'clock, and that's in that specific time, not Utah time, right?
No, 7 o'clock our time.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. That would be 8 o'clock Utah. Okay, well, hopefully I'll find it on the Pac-12 Network. Thanks.
Yeah, the game notes say ESPN2, right?
Yes, because I clicked on the link on GoDucks where Oregon women begin 3-game road trip, and broadcast information for the game for number 3
it
Oregon
is.
At Utah is ESPN2. So I was
right.
That's when I said ESPN2.
Yo!
You lied to me.
Do we know anybody at GoDucks.com who might want to make that adjustment? Because I got to confess, that's not the first person I told it was on the Pac-12 networks. Oh, by the way, yeah, the answer to the trivia question from Big Al State Farm, here to help life go right on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart, phone number 686-1522. Franz Klammer, the 1976 downhill gold medalist, was from Austria, and our winner has been notified. Though I said I would take the first correct answer. Though, I'll tell you, the first person who texted, "What is Austria?" almost made me kind of deviate from that. And then we had somebody who not only texted Austria, but with the Austrian flag. That's a good effort, man. We got a West Germany? No. Somebody just put West. What country is West? Have they ever been at war? What does their flag look like? Somebody spelled Germain, like Germania. Is that like kind of a Euro pronunciation? We got Switzerland. What'd you say?
Just put a little flair on it. That's Germain.
Germania. Sin ist pour Germania.
Can we talk about the Tom Brady tweet now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Tom Brady posted a tweet. No caption, nothing. It's a black and white photo of him at Gillette Stadium, and he's wearing not football clothes, and we're not sure if he's walking into the stadium. We're not sure if he's walking out of the stadium. He didn't put a caption with it. There's nothing like ready for next year, still getting ready. Let's do this, Patriot fans. See you later, Patriots fans. There's no caption on it, nothing. I don't understand what it means. The theories are going crazy all over the internet. Someone was able to deduce that because you can see the...
I think he's walking away.
Well, that's the thing, is like, which way is he walking? Because it's very ambiguous. And apparently somebody noticed that you can see like the broadcast booths on one side of the stadium. And they're like, well, he's walking out of the visitor's tunnel or whichever tunnel he's using. It's the visitor's one. So is he walking out of that? Is he saying the next time he comes into Gillette, he's going to be a visitor because he's actually leaving? Or he's just trolling us to see what would happen, which is also working very well because it's got...
If you had to bet, is he walking into the tunnel or out to the field?
I don't know.
I'm saying, yeah, you got a 50-50 shot. If you had to bet, I think he's walking out onto the field.
I think he's walking away from... Either way, wouldn't that signify he's not playing for the Patriots anymore?
So he's walking... Or is he walking onto the field again as a Patriot?
But he's doing it. This is the visitor's locker room
area. Oh, somebody determined that from this picture?
Well, I was just explaining it. That's what I just
explained.
Because
if you look, his right knee does seem to be bent forward, which would indicate he's walking.
It could also very well be his left knee taking a step forward. It's just the perfect, like, which way is the ballerina spinning in those GIFs? Where, like, if you look at the feet, she's spinning left to right. If you look at her arms, she's spinning right to left. Or the drawing of the grandmother, and then you spin it around. Or if you look hard enough, you see it's a beautiful woman, and it's not the ugly witch or whatever that little optical illusion is. That's the word I've been looking for. But yeah, at the very top of the picture, there's like a bunch of booths and like clear things or whatever up there, and people are like, that's where the TV cameras are. This is from the TV perspective, the right side of the field, and that's the visitor's entryway, and the home team comes out of the left side or whatever, you know, north, south of the stadium that is. There's a lot going on here.
There is, and isn't it too early? I mean, it's not really free agent time. We're not close enough to the draft. Is it just Tom was like, I know how to mess with them now.
Well, the Panthers also announced that they're walking away from Greg Olsen, and they won't be re-signing him. So teams can start making announcements, and players that have these options are able to say, I will or I won't be playing. Plus, you got a Friday coming up before the Super Bowl. You need more football things to talk about. It's kind of the perfect timing to do all of this. No caption. Oh, it's killing me. I got to know.
I'm thinking it's nothing. I think he's just being a ball buster.
Come on, pick a side, Steve. Is he staying?
By the way, now Oregon basketball Twitter says it looks like it's on Pac-12 Mountain. That's incredible because one of the broadcasters, I think, is a Pac-12 broadcaster.
But is that a thing where, like, Pac-12 Mountain is a specific mountain region Pac-12 network, which would mean that regionally, the game can still be on. Just check your TV guide. Like, I'm just going to do that.
There you go. Nick's decided to take matters into his own hands because this has become nonsensical. We want to know where the stinking game is. And we now have three answers out of a possible two, which is kind of ironic.
This one says
Pac-12. Yeah. But.
Well, that's the men.
Right. Oregon at Cal, and then Oregon State. No, so, right now I would have to say it's probably ESPN. Is it possible that, like, Pac-12 Mountain is an ESPN affiliate?
But there's a men for the Washington game. There's a 30 for 30 on. Oh, boy. KGN 590.
Yeah, there you go. or I don't know if they could pick up the Oregon Sports Network feed like they do sometimes. But I thought the deal was that all conference games are televised. So we'll find out. Does anybody here know anything about anything that's ever happened in regards to anything? No. Wait. All right, I'll take that as a no. All right, anyway. Well, one thing we are sure of, your friends here at 95.3 The Score will once again be putting on the world's largest indoor garage sale. Join KUJZ March 28th from 9 a.m. to 4. And it takes place at the Lane County Fairgrounds. So if you need a little spring cleaning and maybe it's just an opportunity to get rid of some stuff, lock up your spot now for a 10 by 10 spot. You can get a space that starts for $65. Contact the front desk here at KUJZ. Reserve your space now. And on the day of, admission is just $2. So don't miss it. The world's largest indoor garage sale. It's March 28th at the Lane County Fairgrounds from KUJZ 95.3 The Score. All right, here we go. Register guard said the women's game isn't on TV.
That's a fourth answer.
We just got a fifth answer from Brad, which he said you can stream through the Pac-12 regional sites on GoDucks, which maybe it might be available there. So there's five possible options you could watch or listen to this game. But do it on KUGN 590.
It's all very confusing, and I'm not in the mood for confusing. You know me. I just want to see the friggin' game. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with a somewhat tardy version of the lightning round next. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
He'll win four, minimum.
So the same way we thought Aaron Rodgers was going to win four after 2010, 2011. Aaron Rodgers was this player. Hold on.
Are the Chiefs breaking up next year? Does anybody know that?
No, they're not breaking up.
All the damn Dan Graziano gurus that know about caps and what players are going to do. They ain't breaking up next year. Guess where they were the year before this?
In the AFC Championship.
Yeah, Marcus Spears getting a little Beano cookie. Remember Beano Cook? Rob Polis of Notre Dame is going to win two Heismans. No, he's not. Pat Mahomes is going to win at least four Super Bowls. That's assuming a lot, since he ain't won one yet. All right, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline as we hit the home stretch of the 4 o'clock hour and hit you with this.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
We got a Thursday lightning round because the Super Bowl is coming round. Hey, is Tom Brady leaving town? Oh, Marcus Morris is a clown. The lightning round.
Wow. So you almost lost it at the start, but the finish was that
A plus.
The Oregon men have played a lot of overtime games. In fact, they've played the most in college basketball this year, along with UNLV and Central Arkansas, with five each. That's one quarter of the games this year where Oregon's had to play an extra 5 minutes, and in the case of USC, it took two periods of overtime. On the one hand, Oregon's playing a lot of close games, or in most cases, they're battling back to force OT. That's showing a lot of fight, and that's good. On the other hand, these minutes are catching up quick. Peyton Pritchard has played 761 minutes this year out of 870 the Ducks have played. That's 140 more than Chris Duarte has logged. He's second on the team. And if my math is correct, and by math I mean my ability to use the Sports Reference Play Index tool, the most overtime game played in a single season in college hoops since 2010 is 8. done by Michigan State, Texas, and Toledo. The Ducks have 10 more games to go in the regular season, plus at least one Pac-12 tourney game and at least one NCAA tourney game, so that's 12. And at their 25% rate that they're at right now, that's three more overtime games in them. That would tie a record. The Ducks will play an over-under 7.5 overtime games this year.
The Ducks, that's another three? I can't live like that. Let's go under.
Root for the under. The saga of Chris Bryant has been an interesting one since 2015. Everyone in baseball knew that the USD product was ready to play in the majors, and the Cubs were being cheap and exploiting loopholes, keeping him in AAA. The loophole being that if a player is in the majors before a certain day, it doesn't count as a full year in the majors, thus the clock on that player is delayed for an extra year. It impacts arbitrations and, more importantly, how old a player is when they finally become a free agent. Now, instead of being done with arbitration and looking at a 2021 free agency class, he has to wait until 2022 when Bryant will be 30. It was cheap on the Cubs in 2015, but it's paying off now, because if they want to trade him, well, Bryant's under control for 2 years rather than one, and they can get more prospects. Yay. Chris Bryant lost a grievance with Major League Baseball and the Cubs won. Chris Bryant losing that grievance is a big little or no deal.
I don't think it's going to end up being much at all. He's a really good player. They're probably going to re-up him for big, big, big bucks. So I'm going to call it a no deal.
All right. Mattress Mack is a crazy person. He's a mattress mogul from Houston once again in the news as he dropped a pair of $500,000 bets on the 49ers money line. That's essentially one $1 million bet, but for some reason, I guess they had a maximum. But he put it on the 49ers money line, who are plus 120. He dropped another $1 million on the Titans money line in the AFC Championship game, and another $13 million on the Astros to win the 2019 World Series. Those were just his public bets. I don't know if this guy knows how to gamble. Mattress Mack's strategy of throwing money into a furnace is blank. Or his betting strategy, I should say.
It's Tannen-like.
Tannenism.
No, that's it. Don't explain. Normally, during big sporting events, I have to come up with my own random overs and unders and things that will or will not happen, just to kind of make you look kind of bad next week when you go back and realize you went over. But thanks to our friends with the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app, I don't have to do that anymore. They have over 200 props and specialty bets you can choose from. I picked some of the weirdest ones for the lightning round, and these are just picks for the lightning round, not picks for the week, and probably shouldn't be taken seriously. Seriously, it's for entertainment purposes only. Let's get to them. There will be a safety scored in the game, yes or no? Yes is plus 800.
Safety.
Safety.
I don't know. These quarterbacks take pretty good care of the ball and are very elusive. I'm going to go no.
The longest touchdown will be over or under 44.5 yards.
Over.
Ooh.
And I think it'll be a run.
Yeah, probably. Over or under 3.5 total field goals in the game.
Ooh. You know what? I think with the way these teams kind of bow up, I'm going to go over field goals.
All right. Over, under 6.5 total punts.
Well, I'm betting the under, so I'm betting the over there, mentally, in my mind.
There we go. One of the last ones, Jimmy G will attempt over, under 29.5 passes.
Wow.
Which is a high number. He's only thrown it 27 times in the playoffs so far.
The interesting thing is, though, if you look at his numbers, I think he's about 7 passes shy of averaging 30 passes a game. So what you have to decide is who you like. Are they going to be playing? If they're going to win the game, which I think they are, he ain't throwing the ball that much, so I'm going to bet under there as well.
The last one, my favorite, the coin toss outcome will be heads or tails.
Tails.
Tails never fails. Tails never fails.
I say right. For the first time in the history of coin flips, it never lands. It just stays in the air.
Or do the thing it did in Packers Cardinals where the ref flips it up and it doesn't spin. It doesn't rotate.
Thuds.
Yeah. What did he do? They had the slow motion video of it where he like went to flip the coin. It went straight up in the air, kind of spun around and landed, and everybody on the Packers was like, "You didn't flip the coin, didn't flip! It's not a
technical flip, it's a thud." It's like when Jerry and George were trying to decide who got the cool new apartment near Central Park, and they did the coin flip, and it hit the counter. It doesn't count! It doesn't count! And Jerry George was like, I'm so broken up about that choose, you have no idea. Take the apartment! I can't live like this! All right, looking ahead to the 5 o'clock hour, our conversation with Oregon softball player Haley Cruz. And a couple of thoughts on a few of the goings-on around the world of sports. And remember, we're out a tad early this evening to bring you Oregon men's basketball, where we know is on the Pac-12 network. We're still, like Leonard Nimoy, in search of the women's game on TV. So hang tight. Excuse me. The 5 o'clock hour of sports talk is next, right here on 95.3 The Score.
I'm not going to be here.